Hello, it is Tuesday, August 24th. This is the Come On Now MMA podcast. I am Trent Rinesmith, and here are the topics for today. We all know Jared Cannonier said he's broke. I discuss what allowing just one fighter sponsor on the fight kit during fight week would do for the fighters and how much of a difference it would make to the UFC, to the fighters, and maybe to the fans and that sponsor. Ronaldo Souza has one regret about his UFC career, and I have some things I would bet on about why that is. Alistair Overeem uses a homophobic slur, and it was not a good look. Conor McGregor is one of those guys that is living on his past and his glory days, and that is a terrible look. Paddy Pimblett, with his UFC debut approaching, gets a come on now for trying to get some shine from Khabib Nurmagomedov's name when we know Khabib Nurmagomedov has never mentioned Paddy Pimblett. And Dan Le Batard, no longer with ESPN, sounds off about the UFC, UFC fighter pay, and Dana White. On with the show. By now, everyone's probably heard the Jared Cannonier on broke story, but quick sum up, recap of that. After his win over Kelvin Gastelum on Saturday at UFC Vegas 34, he said that he was broke, so he didn't know if he could wait for a fight against the winner of the upcoming but as yet unbooked fight between middleweight champion Israel Adesanya and former champion Robert Whittaker. So he said he might have to fight before then. And the reason, again, said he was broke. So whatever the reason him being broke, whatever the reason that is, fighter pay, low fighter pay, he said he doesn't have out-of-control spending habits. So I'm going to go with the low fighter pay and the fact that his arm was broken last year and he had to sit out a year and he had no income. Now I'm going to take away the no income part, because that's a different story that I'm going to try and work on independently and maybe be able to dig some stuff up on that. I don't know, but I'm going to work on it, on why an injured fighter has no income. And the short answer is independent contractor. A longer, more detailed answer is probably inside that somewhere, and I'm going to try and work on that. But one thing that I thought of while listening to what Cannonier said on the MMA Hour was sponsorship. Now, before I get into that, here is what he had to say to Ariel Helwani. After this win, 60% of my money is already gone. Between the gym, between management, between taxes, on top of that, I've got bills, credit cards, I've got kids, I have a house in Alaska, I've got a house here, I've got car payments. That money goes, that money doesn't last forever. And right now, fighting is our only revenue. I don't have sponsors or anything like that. Fighting is my only focus. I'm not out here doing commercials or anything like that. Nobody's asking me to be in the next Marvel movie, and not being able to fight for the last 10 months put a strain on my pockets. So he's not blaming the UFC. Well, he probably could. He's not doing so. But one thing that stood out here is the I don't have sponsors. Now, we know the story in the UFC. The UFC doesn't allow sponsors. And why doesn't the UFC allow sponsors? Because the UFC has cornered that market on its own with the fight kit and the in-cage sponsors. All that revenue goes to the UFC. And that's not an accident. That's by design. The old revenue streams were different. Fighters could have their own sponsors on their fight kit. Yes, UFC got part of that, because of the way the deals were worded and made to come down. But again, that's neither here nor there. The excuse was that the UFC was going to try and clean things up and make things more professional and have the fight kits. And maybe that happened, maybe not. But the fallout of all that was that no sponsors allowed of the fighters' own sponsors. They can't get deals to have a sponsor that they can wear on their fight kit during fight week in the cage on ESPN. And that is terrible for the fighters. It's terrible for the fighters. if the UFC were to allow one sponsor on a fight kit and allow all that money to go to the fighter, and we're not going to talk, it's not going to be a huge amount of revenue for 95% of the fighters. It's not going to be a revenue stream that the UFC should get upset about, upset of not getting a share of, because the UFC is getting a share, 100% share of everything else. But if they allow just one sponsor for a fighter of, say Cannonier, we'll look at Cannonier here because that's who the topic is. If Cannonier was allowed one sponsor on his fight kit during fight week, during the main event of an ESPN card, how much money do you think he would get? Looking at old numbers, and I'm going to guess it's definitely five figures, and it's probably in the mid five figures, I would guess. If you're getting eyes on ESPN on a main event, that's worth it for a sponsor, especially considering, you know, the odds of a Cannonier fight going the distance against someone like Gastelum were fairly high. So that has 25 minutes of just fight time in the octagon, and then whatever ancillary views during fight week. And that's probably going to be a good chunk of change. Now, why not allow that? I don't know. I can't answer that question. Is it just greed? Probably. But if you allow that one fight kit sponsor for a fighter on ESPN, that's probably the difference between being a full-time fighter and a part-time fighter for many. And it's also probably the difference between someone like Jared Cannonier being broke and being okay. I mean, he's not going to be wealthy. He's not going to be well off. It might be comfortable. And I don't understand why that won't be allowed, why that's not something the UFC can consider. It is not hurting the UFC to do that. In fact, it would help the UFC and the PR department, because now you're saying, okay, you can have a sponsor, you can go out and get your own sponsor, and you can keep all the money. That's a good look for the UFC. But they either won't do it or are just too greedy to allow it to happen. I don't know. But if it was up to me, and it's not going to take any money out of the UFC coffers, and in fact might open doors to the UFC, if you get a sponsor, if a fighter gets a sponsor and it's not a sponsor the UFC would normally have worked with, and that sponsor sees a good return on investment from one fighter, well, maybe they then turn around and sponsor a UFC event or a number of events in the octagon, and then the UFC actually makes out here. It has a potential to turn into a win-win, but the UFC holds on to things so tightly out of greed. It's got to be out of greed that it won't let this happen, and everyone would win. It's silly not to allow this to happen. It's nonsensical. The UFC should allow its fighters to have one sponsor, and they should allow those fighters to keep the money from that one sponsor. It would be a huge difference for the fighters, for the promotion, for the fans, for the sponsors. It's just an overall win. But pipe dream right now. Pipe dream. Jacare Souza has retired, and he has one regret, according to MMA Fighting, who he spoke to about this. And here is his regret. I don't keep overthinking things that happened in the past. I always aim at the future. I think that when someone keeps talking too much about the past, it's because he's afraid of the future. But I do believe I've made a mistake. People that were with me have made mistakes. For example, I could have put my foot down and said, no, now we'll wait and fight when it's our turn for the title. That didn't happen, but I can't cry about it now. If there were mistakes made, I think that's it. If I was a betting man, which I'm not really a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I would bet two things on this statement from Souza. One, the pressure from the UFC played a large part in him not waiting. And two, a lack of income played a probably bigger part of him not waiting. So this is, again, the design. If the UFC has a fighter who is a name fighter and that they can draw fans, they are going to pressure that fighter to accept the fight. We saw it recently with Sean O'Malley. O'Malley does not want to fight in New York for a couple reasons. And he said that UFC matchmaker Sean Shelby laid into him for that and, you know, tried to make him feel like shit. Now, when you have Souza, who is by all accounts a decent guy, he's not going to make waves. If the UFC pressures him, and the pressure is there because the UFC knows that if you have a fight with Souza on it, it's going to get more eyes than normal because name recognition. And so if you pressure him, he's probably going to say yes. Many fighters are going to say yes for many reasons. One of those reasons is the belief that the UFC is going to repay that favor. We've seen over time, we have seen that that's not true. The UFC rarely remembers favors that fighters have done for it and oftentimes forgets them as soon as the fighter's name is on the contract. So perhaps Souza thought he was going to be paid back for favors. That is a mistake. The lack of money, again, that is part of the design. If you keep the fighter hungry, quote-unquote hungry, then they need to fight. They can't afford to wait, and we see that in Cannonier. But it was no fault of his own that he had to wait those 10 months, but this is an example of having the, you can't afford that wait because the money is not there. If you're only paid when you fight, you have to fight to get paid. And so with the promise of a title fight but no date of the title fight, financial pressure will play a huge role in many, if not all, UFC fighters accepting fights that they might not want to accept. So ideally, a fighter is in a position where they can turn the UFC down. Yes, that's going to add time to their contract at the end, but if they can get a assurance that they're going to get a title fight, then they can wait. But the odds of that are slim. And even if they get a promise and it's not in writing, that promise is useless. It carries no weight. And so the UFC could get you back that way and deny you a title fight, even though it verbally promised you and not in contract promised you. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons fighters need to accept fights they might not want to accept. And so, yes, it was a mistake from Souza. I'm sure he sees it that way. But it's also a forgivable mistake just because of the situation UFC fighters are in. I do wish Souza would have waited and could have waited, but I don't know his situation. And I do know that pressure is an MF-er, especially from the UFC. So I feel bad that fighters get put in this position. And I hope fighters at some point, you know, if they can stand up for themselves and wait, then they should do so at every chance they get. If they can't, well, you know, at least maybe take the time to say, all right, here's why I have to accept these fights. Because I think a lot of people don't understand the situation fighters are in with the UFC. And that situation is, I need to fight so I can get a paycheck. Alistair Overeem was on the MMA Hour on Monday speaking to Ariel Helwani, and I don't know why, other than stupidity, but he said that he doesn't like professional wrestling because it's quote-unquote gay. Now, I don't understand why he chose that word. I don't understand why someone would be comfortable using a homophobic slur to describe something when the intent probably wasn't to describe it as such, but you get around this comfort level of throwing that slur around so much so often that you don't really think about it. Maybe that's the case for Overeem. I don't know. But it's 2021, and to describe something as quote-unquote gay is just childish. I mean, you run into a Matt Damon situation here where you find out that someone uses the homophobic slurs to describe things at this point, and it's kind of shocking because it's kind of immature for a grown-ass man to be doing so. You should know better. And no, you should not be forgiving of this because of who it is or how it was said or what they meant to say. Because they used he used a homophobic slur to describe something. It's not forgivable. It's not good. It says a lot about Overeem, perhaps more than he thinks it says about him, that he would use that at this point in time. But he did, and he's got to live with that. I mean, should he apologize? Hell yeah. Should that apology be accepted? I mean, accept it with a grain of salt because he said it and he didn't back down from it. Helwani tried to push back a little bit, but Overeem wasn't having it. So it's a bad look. It's an immature look. It makes Overeem look childish. And I just wanted to mention that. Just not good all around. And again, that someone of his age would throw that around shows a comfort level with homophobic slurs that is pretty telling. And if he's going to say that on what is probably the largest podcast in MMA, Lord knows what he says when he's not on camera. Conor McGregor. I mean, I hate to keep harping on Conor McGregor here, but he kind of brings it on himself. And he did it again. So I guess him and Dustin Poirier are going back and forth, and at some point McGregor said, "I bounced your head off the canvas like a basketball." And yeah, that's true, but that fight happened in 2014. It's 2021. What else has happened in that time? Well, here's a couple things that have happened. Dustin Poirier has gotten exponentially better, and he's now beaten McGregor twice. And he's in line for a lightweight title fight. And McGregor has at best stagnated, at worst regressed. I would say he's regressed. Or he's stayed stagnant and the rest of the UFC fighters have progressed. It's one of those two. Conor McGregor has definitely not progressed as a fighter. He's regressed in other ways too. I mean, his trash talking has regressed. And his fighting has regressed. He's kind of a glory days guy at this point, where he's living off his past. That's terrible. And that shows that and I said this on Twitter, he's kind of like that guy who wears his football Letterman jacket at a bar into his 40s and tells you about the remember that time. Yeah, because he's told you about that remember that time so many times now, you can tell the story yourself. And he is now that guy that is going to be remember that time I bounced Dustin Poirier's head off the canvas in 2014. Don't remember those two times he's beaten me since then where he's gotten better and I've at the best stayed the same. Don't remember that. Remember that time I beat him. It's never a good look when you're going back to the past to bring up something that happened and the person you're talking to is still improving. It's a terrible look. So McGregor needs to just, I think, get rid of all this BS, maybe get off Twitter, maybe stop engaging the guy that knocked him out and then broke his leg and has beaten him twice recently, well past 2014, get rid of that. Kick that guy out of your head because Poirier is definitely living there and focus on the future. So ignore the fact that you've lost to Habib and he's retired. You don't have to try and denigrate him anymore. He's retired. He's not coming back. No matter what stupidity you say, Habib Nurmagomedov is not going to fight you anymore. You lost to him. Fair fight. He choked you, you tapped, end the story. Poirier knocked you out, broke your leg. That's recent history. You beating him, ancient history. Forget about it. McGregor's looking childish, and he's not helping himself. He's just looking like the guy who can't do anything now, so he's got to remind you of what he did before. And it's not like he's aged out. He's only 1 year older than Poirier. And Poirier has just gotten better and better and better. And McGregor just kind of coasted and then started falling off. Anyone that thinks that Conor McGregor has improved since that first Poirier fight is delusional. Anyone that thinks that Poirier has not improved since that fight is also delusional. McGregor's looking back. And in a sport like MMA, a sport that is focused on what have you done for me lately, he looks very bad right now. Very bad. Got to come on now, and it's for Paddy Pimblett. Paddy Pimblett has yet to make his UFC debut. I think it's coming up later this month or next month. But in an effort to keep his name in the media and maybe get some shine off someone else's name, he went after Khabib Nurmagomedov. And it was a bad look. It made no sense. Makes no sense now. And here's what he had to say. And he's speaking of Khabib right now. He's become the Karen of the MMA scene, ain't he? See him on the podcast with Mike Tyson the other day. He's going, can you put this fast food away in this weed? No, lad, it's his podcast. He'll do what he wants. Shut up. You've been invited on as a guest, lad. Do as you're told. You're divvy. Why bring this up? Why try and push down on Khabib Nurmagomedov to get your name out there? This just looks kind of sad, kind of pathetic. Kind of thirsty. If you're Paddy Pimblett, you know that saying something bad about Khabib is going to get you in the media. I've never heard Khabib Nurmagomedov mention this guy's name once. And who's the Karen then? Who's trying to get the shine off who? Who's desperate? The answer to all those is Paddy Pimblett. And if he thinks this makes him look good, or if he thinks he's making Nurmagomedov look bad, he's wrong. Maybe focus on your fight, focus on your weight division, focus on an active fighter. Make your name off your achievements. Don't try and get in the media off someone else's achievements. It's not a good look, and it never really works out. Dan Le Batard, who has never been shy about saying what he feels about Dana White, said some more things that he feels about Dana White. He compared him to a dictator. He said he's just someone who wants money and power, and he keeps getting more and more of that through ESPN deal with UFC. And most of this came about in the aftermath of the Jared Cannonier fight, where he said he was broke. And here's what he said on his podcast. You see, another UFC fighter after fight just announced when the microphone was in front of him, and he didn't even say it with bitterness, I'm broke. And then he pointed out that ESPN deal with UFC is worth $1.5 billion and added, you have fighters all over the place telling you after they win fights at the height of triumph, and it's not with bitterness to pursue this love I have to be broke and I have to keep fighting. I can't take a lot of time between fights because I'm broke. I have to keep getting out there, whether I'm ready or not, in a timely manner, maybe before I'm ready, just because I'm broke. The reason that Le Batard said he's trying to focus on this is because he thinks that the UFC underpays its fighters. He mentioned the revenue split with other professional athletes, NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, is closer to 50%. He also said that those athletes are employees. He is correct. The UFC fighters, and I don't think he said this, the UFC fighters are not employees. They do not have collective bargaining agreements. And he said, even if you don't like what's going on in some of these other sports, even if you think the ownership groups are shafting the athletes in these other sports, at the very least, they are collectively bargaining their standards and where they sit in every single part of that sport. Revenue share, negotiated. Hotels, negotiated. Travel, negotiated. Health insurance, negotiated. UFC fighters can negotiate nothing. They get what the UFC wants to give them, and then that's it. He pointed out the fact that, you know, if that crypto.com deal had gone down in any other sport, that's revenue negotiated, close to 50-50. So that $175 million with the crypto deal would have been split. UFC right now, $175 million of that $175 million deal goes to the UFC. Is that fair? Absolutely not. It's not fair because who's providing that revenue? Not the fight kit. The guy and gal that is in the fight kit and then going out to fight. He said that the revenue split and how the UFC fighters get paid by the UFC should bother the fans. And two things stood out about all this is that he said it should bother you, especially when you start considering the desperation that is the soul and the undercurrent of the fight game, meaning, you know, there's some sort of desperation built into combat sports when someone takes that route. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's how they grew up, where they grew up. It's the story that we've heard many, many, many times throughout the history of boxing. And it's a story we hear in MMA as well. And the fact that these people are fighting, like he said, sometimes quite literally for their lives while their opponent is doing the same thing is a form of desperation. And to have to fight to feed your family and to win, to get more money to win, that's a form of desperation. But he also, and this is something that stuck out for me, is he said that he is unsure, as am I, if fans even care about this. And what he said is, the fans, as long as they get their pound of meat every time his UFC is showing fights, they probably, many of them probably don't care about how the fighters get paid. They should. Because if the fighters keep getting paid poorly, and the UFC is now at a point where it's making billions of dollars, this is when pay should increase, quality of athletes should increase, quality of competition should increase. As the pay goes up, all those things should go up as well. The pay is not going up. That quality is going to, at best, stagnate and most likely decrease if the pay doesn't go up. You're not going to get world-class athletes. You're not going to get elite athletes willingly coming to the UFC for 12-12 when they know that the UFC is making billions of dollars and that the revenue split is 18-20% for the fighters and the rest right to the UFC. Someone is not, unless they're desperate probably, is not going to willingly go into that. And so your UFC is going to miss out on a lot of quality athletes. I don't understand it because the money is there. Even a small increase is an increase. The UFC had the best first half in its history in 2021, but is the pay going to increase? I doubt it. Is the revenue going to increase? It is. Is the revenue share going to increase on the UFC side? Probably. Not on the fighter side. And the fighters earn that money with their blood. Literally with their blood. And the UFC doesn't care as long as they get their pound of meat every time there's a fight card scheduled. The fans, maybe. UFC, definitely not. It's gross. It needs to change. And on that note, I call it a day, and everyone stay safe.